Welcome to the Promise Brand Podcast, where if you are looking to build brand, clarify messaging, or just figure out how to better communicate in a saturated market, this is the podcast and conversation for you. I'm Luke Frazier, founder of Parable Brand, where we are on a mission to simplify brand strategy so that you can increase employee engagement and client retention. You see, our brands really should be aligned and should be founded around serving our employees to serve our clients. Think about it this way. Let's say you're a wine company and Joe Schmo walks into ABC Wines to just get wine for a party. His wife told him to go get some wine and he's got to pick it up. He's going to walk in and see a sea of bottles. What is going to make him pick yours? How is he going to resonate to the brand and the story, and where is it going to be positioned? These are the things we need to think about, whether we sell mental health products or whether we are in fintech or we are serving in the CPG markets. We need to better understand where is our client and what story are they living in. As a business, can we invite them into our stories? That is the heart of brand and strategy and what we do here at Parable. This conversation today is with a friend of mine named Frank Estrada. He is the founder of Moneyfy, where they are looking to change the game and help support underserved communities and business owners, SMBs, who are trying to unlock financial potential in their arenas to grow business and to get into a place where they can serve others. Moneyfy is committed to responsible lending solutions, business education, and cross-border payments. They are doing amazing things, and they believe that all businesses should prosper and flourish. And so if you want to get connected with Moneyfy, go to moneyfy.co and get connected with their organization there. I'm excited to introduce to you Frank Estrada. So, Mr. Frank Estrada, you are here today, Austin, Texas, founder of Moneyfy, really changing the game in a lot of different ways. Before we really dive into the business and the journey, Frank, one, thanks for coming on. Welcome. I wanted to just kind of tell a quick little story before we dive in, because you and I got connected through a networking group here in Austin called Fiesta. And the first time I went, you gave an amazing pitch. You're energetic. You were excited. You were running kind of full speed, sharing your heart about Moneyfy. And I think we then got connected on LinkedIn, chatted back and forth. I had appreciated your pitch. I thought you guys were doing interesting things from a business perspective. And then we ran into each other at the next event. And I swear to you, whoever's listening, it was like we were long lost brothers saying hello again. Before we dive into everything, where do you get all this passion? Where do you get all this energy? Where do you get all this excitement? You are a founder, you're a father, you're a husband, you're working as well. Like you got, you're juggling, man. Where does that drive and passion come from for you?
It's a combination of things, man. But I think the best thing I can put it on is two things. It's just, you know, Mama Yolanda Estrada. And the way that she raised me, under the good guy upstairs.
Yep.
Even though I'm not perfect, right? Definitely have another supporting feature, which is my wife and my kids. Those are the people that really, really just energize me every single day, man.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I'm really grateful for that kind of view that you see me as, man, because I think that energy, I connected with you right away. And I saw that from you as well.
Yeah. There's something about it. And I think the Austin startup world has it. I think there are probably a handful of other cities have it, but there is a vibrancy here in Austin with the business and the startup world that it's too easy to get connected with people of that kind of like same desire and passion. And I'm excited we got connected. We're here today really talking about Moneyfy. We're talking about the brand. We're talking about what you're kind of moving in the world. And additionally, where I wanted to begin with you, Frank, is in the financial world, in the loan world, in the money lending world, I just wanted to start with, like, what to you and your perspective, what is the biggest issue with that world right now?
You know, it's kind of funny that you said easy. I just came from this event in New York that was all about culture, mm-hmm. and making shift happen, if you get what I'm going.
Yep.
With that. And they talked about a lot of things that really resonated with me. And one of the things that resonated with me is something that was been in my head for the longest while. And that, you know, let's be realistic, right? We wish that history could be a perfect story, mm-hmm. where it was all the bells and whistles, that, you know, for example, how you had your child and it's been beautiful since then, mm-hmm. right? And we would love to see history represent that kind of feeling, mm-hmm. the warms and fuzzies of the world, right? But realistically, it's an industry that was built 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't built for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we have to keep conscious about as we're having these kind of conversations and as we're having these talks, is that, you know, it's not fair, but we could do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that kind of answers your question.
Yeah.
And the aspect of, you know, the realm that we live in and the direction that we want to go into.
Yeah. 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 So for you, in starting MoneyFi, as you were looking at the landscape of lending and being able to get money to people who maybe can't in the small business space or underserved businesses, where did you start to really, like, where did you really start to see those issues arise? What made you begin to take action to create something that would fight against sort of this old view of money?
Of course. So one kind of an aspect of where I went to school, I went to in school in Boca Raton, FAU, shout out mm-hmm. to the Owls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a city known for old money. And I had a lot of good mentors out there that showed me the difference between new money, old money, and the relevance of history in between, you know, the state that we live in, the realities of it, business 101, mm-hmm. right? You've ever heard that terminology. This mm-hmm. is business.
Yeah.
You know, so I learned that aspect of it outside of what I can read in books.
Yeah.
Going back to your question, the financial landscape doesn't give the full picture of an entrepreneur. As you and me probably already know, Luke, mm-hmm. you want to get your message out to the world. You want people to understand the full aspect of who Luke is, mm-hmm. who Frank Estrada is. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that just read the first cover of that book, and they take you as you are. Same aspect of when somebody's trying to get a financial product, their story isn't told. But nowadays we live in a world where there's a lot of different type of data points out there that are painting pictures mm-hmm. that are actually quite interesting. Lower default rates, lower risk values. Mm-hmm. There's technologies out there that can prove this, that saying, hey, this deserving entrepreneur, this business person, this go-getter that is getting it out of the mud, if you would, right?
Mm-hmm.
And made something out of their own pockets, not asking for anything. Right. One of the highest, if you know, it's a really interesting fact, man, that minority entrepreneurs, not just black and brown business owners, right? All minority business owners, fastest demographic in the U.S. within a year to get into a profit. That's astonishing, knowing that most businesses close their doors within 3 years.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So kind of giving you a concept of, like, where I started to see a trend. And then mm-hmm. more importantly, I was blessed, man. I started working for some of the biggest financial technology companies that sold to big financial institutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the newer underwriting technology, if you would.
Yeah.
Right. And I started to see little things that started bringing me closer to where we're at today. Mm-hmm. Right. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. The route that you guys are taking in building a new platform, building an app, building an organization to serve really an underserved population. It has obviously both sort of that drive to get people to build businesses and to not fear doing it and not feel like they can't have the resources to do it. But you're also building to attention of that mindset. I think you look at different communities across the country and in different cultures, cultural differences, and you might feel in those places like, oh, there's no way we could get out of the current situation we're in, because mm-hmm. I grew up in this situation. My dad's dad had this situation. My great grandmother was in this situation. I'm not going to get out. And so you're both speaking to the mindset and the and sort of like the for future thinking of the financial success of those individuals. Mm-hmm. You guys have done a handful of stories with small business owners here in Austin. Yes. And I'm just curious to see when you've begin to, when you've interviewed those people and people you were hoping to serve, where do you see them sort of in that tension? How do you see them getting out of that sort of victimized mindset and into like, actually, we can take hold. We can use this for our benefit. Where have you seen that journey for people like that?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I, first and foremost, I think it's an honor for me to even be have the door open in those yeah. circumstances. I had to put myself in their shoes. Me being a minority entrepreneur, I mean, I've opened like little small businesses here and there, yeah. specifically when I was in college, uh-huh. right? But it's not about me, right? It's about them.
Yeah.
And having those stories to share with them, right? That's where I think I made that correlation and that connection where they did open those doors mm-hmm. and they're like, this isn't just some snake salesman.
Yeah.
That is coming through my door trying to ask for money. I go in there and I ask them a story. I tell them a story and they tell me one back.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what we're doing here, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing that they start telling me real things that they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people that made it, you know, that one of the examples is her name's Shanita,
mm-hmm.
Just opened a barbershop in one of the hardest places to open a business, which yeah. is Sixth Street.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
And for her to just even do that, I had to tell her, I'm like, that right there,
mm-hmm.
some people dream about that.
Yeah.
You know? And she looked at me and she was like, you know what? It is. And I'm like, yes, dirt off your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about this is that more people that we start talking to each other and we start saying, hey, you know, it's about encouragement, about putting them up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what made that correlation easy for her to start sharing that story. And if mm-hmm. you guys want to see a little bit more about that, you guys can go on the, because we can't talk about too much, it's too much context. You can go on the MoneyFi company app and see those interviews. We have a few more coming out.
Yeah.
But me just putting myself in their shoes and really understanding, you know, where they came from and then asking them the right questions
yeah.
of what they, in their eyes, from their perspective, you know, how they view the lending world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting what they say in the perspective of how I felt when I was, you know, in their same shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really feels like you feel like, you know, the odds are against you.
Yeah.
And with all this publicity that these financial institutions are having, but at the same time with the things that are happening with Apple,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're kind of scared right now of what's going on. But it's not about pointing out people's weaknesses, not even from the borrower side, mm-hmm. but also from the financial. It's like, how can we bridge that, right? Yeah. And I think that's the essence of your question of, you know, it's not really about focusing on like, hey, we struggled.
Yeah.
It's more about we learned from those struggles and it only made us stronger.
Right.
Right.
From yeah.
Those positionings of us feeling, I guess you said it, like you feel like we can't get out of the situation. We got out of the situation.
Yeah.
We're thriving.
Yeah.
We just don't believe in the system that wants to get into right. our pockets.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
There's a big mindset shift in that, I think, that you're talking about, where instead of looking at it as like, I have to fight against something to make it work, mm-hmm. you kind of pull yourself out of that and say, I'm just like anybody else. I'm going after this thing and it's going to work because I believe in my product. I believe in my service. I believe in the people I have. I believe in the heart that and soul that I have. And I think what's amazing is you look at the landscape of those stories and these people are affecting their clients probably more than, you know, someone who was already well off and just had it, right? Like had it made. Yep. These people, yep. because they can relate, they're bridge builders themselves. They can relate to the clients they're serving more often. And so it makes me curious for you, what do you think about building a brand that really has true impact? What does that mean to you? What does that look like to you as a business owner yourself and as the brands that you're supporting? What does it mean to build a brand that makes an impact?
Well, I have to point out the landscape of what I'm trying to tackle. You have three paradigms, right? I'm working in the startup realm mm-hmm. that has its own terminology, its own logic. Mm-hmm. I'm working with SMBs that has its own terminology, its own logic.
Yeah.
And then I'm coming from the corporation world, right? Own terminology, own logic behind how they do business, right? And the craziest thing is what I keep seeing is there's so much disconnection.
Mm.
When you walk, every time, Luke, I walk next to a bank, I do it. I think I did it religiously when I was in New York. Mm-hmm. I almost broke my neck because I would just walk by. I was really offended actually at one of the signs from a bank.
Mm-hmm.
It had it was a whole big, very beautiful bank. And there's a little poster, I guess, the size of this, if I can tell you.
Yeah.
And it said, Small Business Month. That threw me off.
Yeah.
And I thought about the disconnection and the terminology and how people think in the corporate world from a financial institution. I think about how much need a SMB needs on a daily basis, mm-hmm. not just a month, right? And then I started thinking, I'm like, okay. That right there is the problem in itself. If I couldn't put it more in a poetic,
mm-hmm.
right in your face way, yeah. right? And when it comes down to, I'm going somewhere with this, right? When it comes down to branding,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of punchlines. I feel like there's a lot of, oh, I'm a part of this movement. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm an impact. I'm in minority movements, social driven. And I feel a lot of the times that it gets watered down yeah. and misused, the verbiage.
Because so corporations can use it in marketing efforts.
Yeah. And I mean, it's business, right?
Yeah.
But I think if I had to put a word on it, is the authenticity pieces that mm. they're missing.
Got it. Yeah.
That's the biggest thing when I see the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that MoneyFi can do something about that.
Yeah. So you're challenging really not only the way that money is given out to small, medium-sized businesses and maybe even underserved communities, but how we even communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And in what ways do you feel like the communication can improve?
That's a tricky question. I can't give away too much of the secret sauce that's going to make us be successful. But what I can say is if a bank opens up in, let's say, an impoverished community.
Okay.
Let's say medium, not even impoverished, let's say medium to low to medium income, mm-hmm. right? Where you have a little bit both sides of life, mm-hmm. right? If you walk into that banker office and you sit down, ask them when's the last time they went and had a conversation with the Chinitas of the world.
Yeah.
I think that right there will tell you everything you need to know, Luke.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, you know, from a brand perspective, what's interesting to me is that when we get into strategy with clients, oftentimes, or even back in the audit phase, I usually ask them, like, when was the last time you talked to your customers? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we might get a client testimonial or something like that.
May I add to that?
Go for it.
I don't mean to cut you off. But I think we need to shift the narrative here into saying, when's the last time we asked, but challenge them?
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, when we're working together, they're paying me to challenge them.
Exactly.
Because if you don't spend time with your customers of all spectrums, right? Like if you are a corporation, you probably are able, because of the size and the funding that you have, you can probably serve everyone from other corporations all the way down to the little dog, right? Yeah. If you're in small to medium-sized businesses, you're serving probably people similar to you. But I think if you're not willing to ultimately talk to the end user, you're never going to serve anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the shakeup shift here, is that if you don't think it's worth it to talk to a potential customer, a prospect, or someone you've ever sold to before, and some people get this, it's like we're preaching the choir for some people here, yeah. but there are a lot of people mm-hmm. that just, they think it's a waste of time or they don't go that direction. And obviously it's something that you guys are taking as a brand, a new brand, a startup brand, you are taking in full swing right from the get-go.
Thank you.
Right, you're in, I know you guys are in build phase. I've seen the app. You've shown me a lot of stuff that isn't even out yet. I'm excited about it. We're in the pitch phase, but before all that happens, you're leaning into these people's stories. Yep. And I know this might feel, I guess this question might feel obvious to some, but why did you feel the need to go and talk to these people?
I think we have to set the tone of expectation of what these people deserve.
Mm-hmm.
All people, when you think about it and realistically, right? We walked away from a human touch that's made us who we were. We used to say we were the melting pot in the country. And I feel like we're being laughed at now.
Yeah.
When we can just, I don't want to sound kumbaya-ish, but I'm an economic background, man. I'm a macro and micro guy. I look at the consistencies that made us a strong country in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of them can be replicated just in new technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And people that have already made their money, the fat cats of the world, the fat hats of the world, are real comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing, the people, the SMBs of the world, the backbones of America, have a say of how this is going to unfold.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if my son Ezekiel, who's 6 years old, and my son Max, who's 2 years old, and your son that just happened,
mm-hmm.
live in the world 10, 15 years ago where we didn't have an opportunity to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it comes down to, right? And it's not a question that may seem forward to other people or simple to other people. It's like a no-brainer to other people. It actually is really hard. I had a conversation in New York,
mm-hmm.
with one of the commercial, the top JP Morgan representatives,
mm-hmm.
for the commercial SMB market. They're like, yeah, we have that. Oh yeah, we have affiliate programs. I'm like, this is what it is to you guys. It's their programs.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, if I know an accountant, can you give me some business? Yeah. Well, what are you giving the accountant? Where's that real relationship? These are the things where, like, there was an aha moment with me and that banker.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wow, this is something that we need. And I'm like, it's okay. Yeah, I know. I work in the industry.
Yeah.
That's why I'm bringing it to the marketplace, because I know.
Right.
And the cool thing about it is there's other people that are trying to get on the boat. There's other people that are ahead of the curve with this, and I love it.
Yeah.
Because I don't look at it as competition. I look at it as all of us grinding together to make that shift, that paradigm happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not a simple question that is obvious, because a lot of people that have been in the industry are blinded by their own, mm-hmm. you know, what they got going on in their dailies, and they already have what the direction that they're headed in.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about, you know, what they see as crumbs on the table. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you. Those are actually what's going to make a difference in the country.
Yeah.
And what's going to get us back to where we need to be.
Yeah.
To be honest. No politics.
Well, and
just being direct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is amazing. If we think about it, we live in a very selfish culture. Mm-hmm. We live in a culture that it's not just go build your white picket fence and nice suburban home anymore, American dream. It's go build your own success.
Yep.
And run anybody else over in the meantime. And post about it on social media all day long, and then travel the world and eat amazing. And all that stuff's great. I love that stuff. It's amazing. But when we're pursuant of just the stuff and our own self glory, we're missing the service along the way. And I don't care what faith background you are or what political side you're on. If you're not doing something to serve others, you're probably doing something that's useless.
Yep. I've seen money are being spent on sillier things, man. That's the craziest thing, is when I got into this startup world, man, I was so naive. You know, people look at me like when you met me, man, and this is just being real. When you met me, you see that, you know, personality, I guess, mm-hmm. if I had to put a description of what you describe when we saw each other the second time, bro,
mm-hmm.
I call it bromance, but you can call it. people can take it as naive, but I've been a master. I've been a student of the game for a while. Yeah. I just sit there in a corner just writing notes, man. Mm-hmm. And right now it's a time to do execution. I've been studying a long time, and I say, hey, this is going to do some good.
Yeah.
And it's going to leave a good mark, and it's going to leave an example of how to do things right.
Yeah.
Obviously, business is business. Investors want to be pleased. They want to see their 10x and their return and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But when I think about it, when I used to work for Enterprise, I don't know if you know Enterprise, the company that picks you up, the rental company.
Yeah.
I got out of college thinking I was going to be in a little corner office. I'm over here scrubbing cars
for
people and whatnot. But I really, the reason I joined that company is because Jack Taylor, he actually comes from a military background. Mm-hmm. He was the founder that passed away. His sons are now running the show, and a few other people that are in their stripes there. But one of the biggest values that I learned, in our training class, I still have it to this day. I actually have it right here. One of the values that I really dug from that company that I always will take with me is you take care of your people, customers first, your internal people and your customers, and the rest will follow. Mm-hmm. He was talking about profits, of course. I think we forgot about that. Mm. You know,
yeah.
Heck, maybe they even forgot about it. I'm not sure. I'm not there anymore, but. You know, at least that core thinking of like that service.
Yeah.
It's a good point, man, because we need to come back to that.
Yeah.
It's going to make the difference.
It really will, you know, and I think it's a powerful thing. To me, what's amazing about the startup and the founder world is I think a lot of people are doing it. And as I look at your journey and the conversations we've had, you are a note taker. You are an active learner. You're always trying to surmise something from somewhere to plug into the build that you guys are doing and make it, you know, make it something not just for yourself, but for someone else. And you very well stated that and very well branded that. For you right now, because you guys are sort of as a startup, as a new brand, you're in that seed funding stage. What is like the biggest thing you've learned from jumping into sort of a bigger scale founder endeavor than you've ever have before?
That's a hard one, man. you have some loaded ones, Luke. I'll give you that one. Can you say that last portion of it one more time
You started a couple of businesses along the way in your life. Yeah. You've worked for some corporations, but now jumping into a much bigger endeavor from a startup and a founder, like the stakes are high and the brand is bigger. What have you really learned along the way this time around?
Well, there's one thing that I can't walk away from. That's my work ethic. Mm-hmm. That goes back, shout out again to Yolanda Estrada, my mother. She instilled that, single mother of seven, working for all of us, and she never gave up.
Yeah.
So it'd be a disservice to her and my family for me to give up. And that's not in my blood. Second, I would have to say the chances that I took, man, because you got to think about it, is I worked for a company where I learned a certain skill and I learned a certain gap. Mm-hmm. And I had a little itch in me and I was like, man, there's something needs to be done here. I'm looking at the marketplace. Nothing's being done. Is this something? And I literally started pitching this at South by Southwest last year at a Latinx hub. Innovation hub is what they call it. Excuse me, guys, if you guys are listening to this and I messed that up, but it's Latinx Innovation Hub. I got the sticker right here on my refrigerator. I started pitching, Luke, and I just went from the heart and I said, hey, I work in this industry. Mm-hmm. I see everybody's, and I kind of challenged the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, I see that this is happening, but what are we doing to make it tangible? Mm-hmm. Right. And then I was like, I have a dream to do this.
Yeah.
And I want to do this. And I met somebody that was really, 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 really close to my heart. And her name's Liliana from Sabio, which is a school in California. Mm-hmm. And I went up to her right after the event. And next thing you know, man, I'm getting the whole MVP built.
Yeah.
I'm over here skipping the pre-seed fund. I'm getting accelerated with a lot of people that are like giving me this advice. They're like, you have something here.
That's awesome.
Let's run with it.
Yeah.
And taking that dive, I think for me was the biggest thing that I would have to say to people. It's like, one, don't be fearless.
Yeah.
Don't be scared just to make that jump. Right. Look at yourself and know where your strengths are. Mm-hmm. For me was what my mother instilled, that work ethic. But at the same time, you have to be as much as you want to be forward. It's one thing I have to do on a daily basis. I want things to go like this, right? And we've gotten,
man, me too.
We've gotten into such a great position right now with some people that don't even have a product, and we have something tangible that kicks butt.
Yeah.
And now it's like slowing down strategically, not slowing down to stop the pace of
what
you're going.
That's right.
But like with investors, man, I felt at first that I had to be grilled, and not anymore. I feel like I have something wonderful that I have to grill them and understand that now it's an advisory role.
Yeah.
Another person that's going to be a partner.
Right.
And that first step is huge. Mm-hmm. So I've actually had to decline a few things because it wasn't in the best interest of the values. Mm-hmm. And sure, maybe that's a mistake to some people, but when I talk to some of the advisors, like for example from Capri Factory, they're like, you made the best choice there.
Yeah.
Because you would have sold yourself to the, you know what I'm talking about. So I guess to answer that question of somebody that was coming in, man, one, remember where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
Two, know your strengths from that, right? Two, don't be scared to just make that jump. If you see something and you have a little itch, talk to a few people. There's wonderful people, like you said, here in Austin, Texas, that all you have to do, Luke, is show up, and they'll tell you to go forward with it.
They'll
tell you straight up if it's a bad idea, too. That's the good thing about here. Nobody is going to beat around the bush here in Austin. Here in Austin. But I wanted to shout out somebody, Liliana and Yolkindi. I really appreciate you guys because of Latinx Innovation Hub. 5 months ago when I started pitching with this in South by Southwest, I wouldn't have been here.
Wow.
So I just wanted to give a quick shout out there, man.
Love it.
I appreciate it.
Love it. If you want to go far, go together, huh?
Yeah, man.
As we wrap up here, Frank, the essence of our brand here at Parable is a story of taking somebody from their desert of confusion into their promised land, meaning the place where clients choose them all the time, and the place where the brand just makes sense, from the communication to the service to the visuals and everything. For you at MoneyFi, where do you feel like your promised land is? I know you want to get funding. I know you're still in the startup phase, but like as you look ahead, what is that ideal? What's the vision? What's the promised land look like for you guys?
Wow. That was very well put, because you said something in there that really stood out to me, and that this New York trip just put into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about the funding.
Yeah.
We're doing so many wins right now, man, that it's like, we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. But when it comes to the perspective of where I see this going, right? That's because I like the way you talked about that, right? That's like, hey, but what about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it like 10 years, and I'll take it back to, you know, what my sons are going to see, right? I look at the landscape where, you know, predatory lending and bad debt isn't a business, or at least we're challenging the hell out of it and making their life really freaking difficult.
Yeah.
I look at, you know, a landscape where where technologies like alternative data, AI, which is components of what we're building here within MoneyFi, is used for the greater good to analyze the whole story of an entrepreneur, and to show these banks that, like, hey, here's a person that you otherwise would have passed up that's actually your best bet, and it's going to be a loyal customer. And then really, really, really bridge that gap, because I'm an economist, man. Look, if we turn our backs on these financial institutions and we just get mad at them because they're doing it right, we're not going to go into a recession. We're going to get into some bad business, and it's not about doing that. but it is about understanding where we need to be. And I see an equitable marketplace. I see where people are getting a fair shot, the funding that they deserve with the interest that they deserve, education that's free, where you're not having to pay $1,000, $10,000 for something that should be given to you as a business owner wanting to contribute to an equitable society. I feel that, you know, the way that money moves within our community, specifically with, you know, the new invent, the advances in blockchain, could be done a lot better. You know, so when I talk about MoneyFi, we talk about, you know, three things. We talk about funding, education, and making money move within the community with payments. And I think that right there, when you think about a foundation of generational wealth, connecting these people with the resources, because a part of the education, we're going to have a very, very, very vetted directory where people can meet people like you, look, and have an opportunity to share their story. Have a have an opportunity with expertise to grow their brand and know things that if they otherwise weren't a part of the Austin community or the startup scene, they would have never known about. Right. And that's for me, I see that.
Love it.
I hope that answered that question, man.
Full community, supporting each other, growing. It's an amazing, amazing effort. Frank, before we go, I have to ask you, why did you name the company MoneyFi?
Well, actually, you actually got me saying it the wrong way. And this is really funny because this is actually really important where it came from. So in Spanish, coin, it's called moneda.
Moneta.
So, yeah, moneda.
Moneda.
With a D. Moneda.
Moneda.
So originally the name was a MoneFi. So MoneFi. So nothing to do with money. It had to do with coin.
Got it.
The same kind of thing, currency, right? But different kind of, I'm glad you brought that up. So originally it came from that terminology, the moneda, you know, and then people just started getting along with the MoneFi. So for me, my heart will always be a moneda. We do have plans eventually in our roadmap to be players in the Latin America region. So we want to make sure their fintechs, man, if you guys don't know, please look up Latin America with their fintech space. Africa is doing really amazing things. Countries that otherwise, when you look here in America, you would think that they're, you know, third world countries. You guys need to read. They're actually coming up and being very advantageous and jumping ahead of the curve with stuff.
So good.
Yeah, and that's where it came from, so I appreciate it. But hey, guys, you guys can say it however you guys, guys and gals, everybody that's out there, you can say it however it feels rolling off the tongue.
There you go.
But if you were to ask my lawyer, it's going to be MoneFi.
MoneFi. MoneFi. I love it. Yes, sir. I love it. Frank, thank you so much for your heart and your passion for what you're doing. Where can people follow along? Where can they get connected? And what are you looking for right now? Because I know you're in the pre-seed funding round, but where can you get, where can they get connected with you, and what are you looking for?
Are you asking for like our financial ask, or are you asking for
are you looking for more investors, are you looking for partners, are you looking for
We just started, so we're looking for anybody that's connected with anybody in the financial landscape. So we're looking for financial partners for the back end portion of this. We're also looking for investors that align with our views. So expertise specifically in impact projects and fintech projects, and actually standing up products and getting them to an IPO. That's kind of what we're looking for with that aspect of it. When it comes down to ask, I like to have private conversations when it comes to that. But we are raising and we're making some headway here.
Love it. And where can people follow along?
So we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, and we're on also LinkedIn. So you can look us up. It's MoneyFi Financial Inclusion Platform. We're really easy to find, and we look forward to, I think my simplest ask for people, just follow us online, guys, because that's the biggest compliment, and you get to see all the cool stuff that we're updating and all the headway that we're doing to making these things into a reality.
So good. Frank Estrada, thank you so much for coming on, my man.
Blessings. I appreciate that, brother. Much gratitude to you.